Amen. Hey, once again, we are in an exciting study. That's right. Voodoo, vampires, and the rise of demon worship. Why? Because it is the final section of our section of world religions, cults, and the occult that we started when I was 13 years old. Remember those days? Man, I was just, yeah, it's about that old. But that's right. Voodoo, vampires, and the rise of demon worship. Demons are real. That's why we started off taking a look at the existence of demons. Then we went to the character of demons, the tactics of demons. We dealt with the history of demons, basically people seeking demonic input. Not just in the world, but even the church. We looked at that and said, how could that happen? Well, we saw how that began to happen. People turned away from the Word of God, the Bible, and they turned to demonic input. Then we saw, unfortunately, it began to branch out. If they can't get you with spiritualism, then the enemy's going to come, and he's going to try to get you with voodoo. And we dealt with that for several weeks. The next one, of course, was shamanism, kind of like an indigenous version of voodoo, just kind of repackaged. We dealt with that. Then we even saw druidism, basically the whole environmental movement, climate change, the excuse that Klaus and the gang are using to take over the planet, the lies, a lot of it is out of druidism, so we dealt with that. And then the last couple of times, what? That's right, believe it or not, it's not just the movies. Unfortunately, the movies are bringing it into reality, helping it to, and that is vampirism is what we dealt with, the fourth branch there. So we began to tear that one apart, and the first study we did was the history of vampire. We had a whole study just on that, and we saw that nothing new under the sun. This is not some new recent development. There's a reason why God is very clear, Old and New Testament, forbids the drinking of blood, because that was an old-fashioned occult practice, pagan practice, that went as far back as the Tower of Babel, 200 years after the flood. We saw that with the Babylonian Empire, the archaeological remains. They were involved in the occult. You would think a worldwide flood would get your attention, but only 200 years later, if you do the math, man, they're already steeped in the cult, including vampires. Well, that was a whole study that we did. Then last time, we took a look at the beliefs of vampires, okay? Pagans believe, still to this day, okay, that there is a spiritual benefit that you can gain from being a vampire. It's kind of like, a false path, again, of achieving immortality. Because, you know, vampires, you live forever. I don't think so. But again, that's what they get seduced into. Still continues on today. So we took a look at their beliefs. Okay, the modern people that call themselves vampires, and we saw several different examples. We'll see some more tonight, Lord willing. But vampirism, it's kind of like witchcraft, kind of like Satanism. It's all about, well, you make it up as you go, right? So it's kind of hard to codify. Here's what every single modern-day vampire believes, because they're off doing their own thing. But let's talk about some generalities we saw last time. They could be looked upon as a romantic hero. Tonight, you're going to see that they are the new superhero that kids want to be. If you don't want to be Iron Man or Captain America, be a vampire. I'm not joking. They're the ultimate rebel. They're the master of dark powers. They're an outcast. They're immortal and all that baloney. Some say that modern-day vampires, you have to drink blood. Some say, well, no, you just need to feed off their psychic energy. Others say, again, you could do what you want. But typically, they're involved in blood drinking, sleeping in coffins, avoiding daylight, performing occult rituals, engaging in occult sexual practices, taking drugs, wearing fangs, and having their incisors sharpened. So we took a look at not only their typical beliefs, but began to take a look at other things that help you understand their beliefs, and that is the rituals, the practices, the clans, and the symbols. Now, the rituals, basically, even still to this day, as crazy as this sounds, the rituals, if you're going to become a vampire, the first thing they have you do is go through an initiation ritual that often involves blood. Then, of course, there's the regular blood rituals that, quote, immerses you into the vampire culture and its power. Then that leads to, and by the way, that's an actual photo of a ritual into initiation into vampirism today, unfortunately. Then we looked at the practices. So what do you do after that? You get initiated, you do the blood rituals. Well, you not only do the blood rituals and keep it going, but you also, we saw the vampire diet. Remember that? Abstaining from certain foods is the direct quote, an organic diet. Oh, interesting. What does that sound like? That sounds like the vegan movement. And that's what God says is a sign you're living in the last days. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons, which is vampirism. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to what? Abstain from certain foods. Direct, absolute quote from vampires and what you need to do. But then they say, well, next thing you do is you need to join a clan. Right? You need to join a clan. It's sometimes called a vampire clan or a vampire court is the verbiage that's used there. A vampire subculture. Okay? And then you're going now with a bunch of these people who practice, quote, the occult, divination, astrology, alchemy, and magical, spelled with a K, magical practices. Okay? And subculture, another one is the goth subculture. Not every goth is a vampire, but a lot of them get into vampirism, as well as, quote, witchcraft, Satanism, and they do drink blood, mutilate their bodies because they cultivate a taste for human blood. Basically, they start to produce a bunch of wannabe vampires out of that culture, as we saw last time. And it doesn't go well because you're involved in the occult, and Satan's not only a liar and the father of all lies, he's a what? Murderer. And so guess what? You follow Satan, another one of his branches, that's what's going to happen. That's what we saw last time. A multitude of articles, people being slaughtered, murdered for blood or as a blood sacrifice or to drink blood by, quote, vampire cults all over the place. May not make the news, but folks, that's really what's going on. And dare I say, unfortunately, even in Vegas. And finally, if you're going to understand their beliefs, we saw the symbols. Just like witchcraft, just like Satanism, they codify their beliefs in the symbols. Also a way of, quote, marking your territory. As well. It could be symbolizing their blood oaths, as we saw. It could be images featuring death and rebirth and bats and different ones that are supposed to be like talismans and charms to ward off evil spirits. Yeah. How's that working out for you? You listen to evil spirits as it is. And to understand, again, where all this is coming from. Because as you can tell, Hollywood has no effect on people getting into vampirism. For you those, you don't realize that is a Hollywood show. Okay, there it is. And so that's the big deal. Now, speaking of Hollywood and Vampire Diaries and all that stuff, influence, that's what we're going to deal with tonight, the promotion of vampirism. Why are we seeing such a rise in that today? You're going to see two things. One, because the church is off playing funny reindeer games, learn to be a better you, better life now, best life now. Hey, listen, if this is my best life now, we're in a heap of trouble. I'm looking for something way better. I don't know about you. Hello. It's crazy. But they're doing that. Learn to be financially successful. People are still interested in spiritual things. They're sick of that because it's a bunch of fluff and baloney and heresy. No substance. Self-centered. Well, they're checking into other things. But who's promoting that as the church is playing the funny reindeer games, we're going to see, is Hollywood. Now, before we get into that, as always, let's see why we need to pay attention to what we put into our eyes and our ears. And believe it or not, if you put junk in, you're going to get junk out. And that is a basic rule in the scripture. Let's deal with just one of those passages. And you know, David, and this is talking about Psalms, David kind of learned that the hard way. Remember that? Remember what happened with Bathsheba? First of all, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, as you turn to Psalm 101. Wrong place at the wrong time. If you look at the passage there with Bathsheba with his sin, he should have been out with the rest of the guys in battle. That was the time for the king to be out there with the soldiers. He wasn't. So he wasn't. He was, first of all, in a wrong place. You ever put ourselves in wrong places we shouldn't be? Well, that was his first mistake. Don't even go there, right? The Bible says flee, not flirt with temptation. Flee from it. And then his second mistake was he was at an elevated position. And actually, if you ever are over there in Jerusalem where he had his castle, you can see it's elevated. And you can look down on the terraces down below. Well, the terrace down below was Bathsheba, and she was doing her thing. Second mistake, he didn't turn his eyes. And you're going to see what happened. It clung to him. Next thing you know, he gave birth to all kinds of sin, not just with adultery, but murder and things of that nature. Psalm 101 is our text. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's word tonight. Psalm 101, 1 through 8. And this is great. How many of you guys want to live a blameless life as a Christian? Amen. Please, all of you, raise your hand because I will get very depressed. I'm not doing very good or whatever. So, or that's going to be a lot of job security. But anyway, that's right. Psalm 101. This is telling us very, I love it, cut and dry from God. You want to leave a blameless life? He tells you exactly what you need to do, man. You don't have to wonder. Pray and fast 15 years. Go to that prayer and fasting conference with meals included. You don't need to do that stuff. You just need to watch what he says, right? Psalm 101, this is, I will sing of your love and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to, what? Lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. Well, how am I going to have a blameless heart? How am I going to, you know, just keep singing these praises to God, have a great time with him and have a blameless life? Here you go. Step one, I will set before my eyes what? No vile thing. Whoa. Keep reading. The deeds of the faithless men, I what? Hate. Woo, that's a strong word. They will not what? Cling. We'll see that word in a second. Cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be what? Far from me. I will have what? Nothing to do with evil. Then he goes on. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him I will put to silence. Whoever has a haughty eyes and a proud heart, I'm going to hang out with him because that's a great culture to be around. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong translation. What? Him I will not endure. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land. that they may dwell with me. So other people who are like-minded, living the same way, those are the people I surround myself with. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No, watch this. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. In other words, stop watching the news. And finally, every morning, what? I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. You may be seated if you can, but there it is. Pretty simple. How do you lead a blameless life and you're singing praises to God? You maintain that great, exciting walk with Jesus Christ. How do you get rid of wickedness? That's all it is. You get rid of wickedness. And we're going to hone in on that phrase there. I will put what? Before my eyes, no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. Now, what's interesting is that word there, cling. Watch this. In the Hebrew, it's debak. Okay. Say that three times real fast. That sounds like, yeah, you know what it sounds like. Anyway. Got you to sound like a bunch of demons, didn't I? That's exactly what I did. Yeah, well, at least now you know what to listen for when they come your way and you rebuke them. And that's right. Cling. Cling is the Hebrew word there. It's debak in the Hebrew. It means this, not just to stick to stay close to cleave to. Listen, to join to so as to overtake. So the whole goal is to get it to cling to you, but it doesn't just stop there. It's going to, if you allow it to cling to you, the whole purpose is that thing's going to overtake you. Do you see the little difference there? Right? And what's he say? I will not let that happen. I will not let evil cling to me, no matter what form. Why? Because listen, what was the other word that he used there? Hate. It's actually the Hebrew word shin, and it just literally means to be hate or hateful. I hate wickedness. I can't stand wickedness. I don't want to have anything to do with wickedness. I want to lead a blameless life. I hate it. Now, we don't hate people, but do you hate wickedness? Yeah, it seems like, man, I don't know, it's the older you get, the closer you get to the finish line. I don't know what it is, but man, it's just like the more, it's like, I'm tired of this world. I'm tired, and I'm not tired of reaching for Christ. I'm not tired of teaching. I'm not tired of being a part of the church. The wickedness. Have you got to the point where you say, I'm tired of this wickedness. I can't wait to get home. But in the meantime, what do? Stay close. If you're tired of it, stay away from it. Because the last thing you want to do is let it cling to you. But a good sign that, you know, you don't hate people because they need to be reached like anybody else. But again, the wickedness, do you really, quote, shin? Do you really hate it? Or, we'll see in a second, do you really love the things that God hates? And you wonder why your walk with Christ is down in the toilet. It's clinging to you. It'll cling to you. That's how you lead a blameless life. Again, I think most Christians, professing Christians, I should say, maybe they're saved, I don't know. You look at the behavior, and they don't hate sin. There's not much of a battle going on with, no way, no vile thing before my eyes. You look at the wickedness in the world, and you look at their behavior, and it's a carbon copy. And again, in essence, basically, the things that God hates, the things that sent Jesus to the cross, the things that caused it to where we deserve to go to hell, that Jesus saved us from, that you say you're thankful for, you love. Like what this guy says, watch this.
I'm not troubled in my heart about your self-esteem. I'm not troubled in my heart about whether or not you feel good about yourself, whether or not life is turning out like you want it to turn out, or whether or not your checkbook is balanced. There's only one thing that gave me a sleepless night. There's only one thing that troubled me all throughout the morning, and that is this. Within 100 years, a great majority of people in this building will possibly be in hell. And many who even profess Jesus Christ as Lord will spend an eternity. Many of the things that you love to do, God hates. Did you know that? Pray for revival. You're going to have a youth meeting. You want God to move. But before you go there, you watch programs on television that God absolutely despises. And then you wonder why the Holy Spirit hasn't fallen on a place and why you have to create false fire and false excitement. Because God's not in it. God is a holy God. And the only way you and I could ever be reconciled to a holy God is through the death of God's own Son when He hung on that tree. Why am I a Christian? Because there was a time in my life when I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want you to know that the greatest heresy in the American evangelical and Protestant church is that if you pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, He will definitely come in. You will not find that in any place in Scripture. What you need to know is that salvation is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. And faith alone in Jesus Christ is followed by repentance. A turning away from sin. A hatred for the things that God hates and a love for the things that God loves. A growing in holiness and a desire not to be like Britney Spears, not to be like the world, and not to be like the great majority of American Christians, but to be like Jesus Christ. I don't know why you're clapping. I'm talking about you.
Ooh, stinger. We say by our works? Absolutely not. But when you really get saved by faith in Jesus Christ and what He did, His work on the cross, you're instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? One of the obvious signs that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you truly say, you have a new attitude towards sin. Salvation is followed by a different attitude with sin. It can't be the same. Now, have you ever sinned after you got saved? Raise your hand. Those you didn't raise your hand, you just sinned in church services. Can you lie? We still sin. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you have a new attitude? You should, because He's now in you, and He'll convict you of sin. And that's a good thing. I mean, right after I got saved, I'm all by myself. Right? The very next day after getting saved, the whole day, I didn't read a tract. I didn't read a verse in the Bible. I don't think I had a copy of the Bible at that point. I just had this inherent desire to separate myself from everything I was used to, all the occult stuff that I had, the new age stuff that I had. I was making all day long trips down into the dumpster. Nobody told me to do that. That was a natural desire. I wanted to separate from sin. And when I still did sin, even as a new Christian, it hurt. That was never there before. So what's going on? You sit there and you say you love Jesus, but you don't hate sin. The very thing that put Him to the cross, that you say, something's not right there. That's not good. Now, whether you say it or not, I don't know. You know, Christians get in the spiritual ditch. But I will tell you, you need to get that attitude back if you're going to have a blameless life, if you're going to have a great walk with Christ, because He doesn't play around with that save. The phrase there, I will set no vile thing. This is really wild. I didn't know this until I started tearing into this specific word. The word there, vile thing, literally in the Hebrew, it's a Hebrew word, just simply, is Belial. Belial. The word Belial in the Hebrew means worthless, good for nothing, unprofitable, base, wicked, ruin, and destruction. Why does that sound familiar? Because if you know your New Testament, that's the same word that Paul uses to describe Satan. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 15. Do not be yoked with unbelievers. Again, don't be doing what they're doing. They're involved in all kinds of wickedness. Why would you do that too? Again, like Psalm 101. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what can fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and, there it is, Belial, which obviously is a reference to Satan, right? And so why is Satan described? Why does Paul use that word to describe Satan? Because Satan is what that word means. He is worthless. He is good for nothing, base, wicked, ruin, and destruction. That's why he uses that. And that's why Paul says, you make up your mind. You can't play both sides of the fence. One foot in the world, one foot in the Lord. If you're going to separate. That's why he says at the text, he says this, therefore come out from them and what? Be ye separate, says the Lord, touch no unclean thing. Why? Because if you don't, what's going to happen, back to the original Belial text, the vile thing, what'd he say? If you don't shut off this vile thing, what's it going to do? It's going to cling to you. Paul's referring in that New Testament passage back to Psalm 101, talking about this separation. You want to live a blameless life? Then you need to separate. You will set no vile with thing, whatever. Otherwise, it will cling to it. And remember, it wasn't just cling. It's what? Cling for the purposes of eventually overtaking you. And this is what people need to understand when it comes to the stuff that's going on in what's called entertainment. Remember the video we saw, the lady? Yeah, what's the first part of entertainment? Enter. What are you allowing to enter into your mind? Psalm 101 says, listen, the more you allow wickedness to enter your mind, it's not just going to cling to you. It will overtake you. Listen, you will start to emulate that instead of Christ. Satan knows this, but you have whole generations of, quote, churchgoers that say, ah, no, that's just entertainment. What are you in those legalistic wacko churches? Whatever. Okay. And believe it or not, when you ingest a lot of vampire media and you keep watching that and looking at that and reading that again and again, you know what it does? Exactly like we were warned. It's going to cling to that person. It's going to overtake them. And the next thing you know, shocker, guess what they want to be? A vampire. Like this lady. Watch this.
When I was young, I always wanted to look like a vampire, like a demon. Like
I got permanent vampire fangs. I'm Marilyn. I'm on the mission to be the ultimate vampire Barbie doll. I think I spent around 30,000 euros in my body. My next surgery is gonna be a fox eyelid.
I take a lot of inspiration in my makeup and outfits from these kind of dolls. I love their makeup.
I was a blonde girl, very thin, very tall, nothing special about me. So I like to change. I would say 60-70% of my body tattooed.
Everywhere is gonna be a massive black at some point. I really like to look brutal. I got my eyes done. They are pretty special, not like everyone else, I would say. I got my teeth. They're permanent from the dentist, and I got my tongue split.
Come on. Don't even start. You're not one of those wacko churches. It's just a movie. It's entertainment. It has no effect. And I tell you what, next time they come out with a Harry Potter movie or Twilight, we're good, man. It will cling to you. You keep it up. And eventually it will overtake you, right? So again, let's take a look at where is this coming from. Satan's laughing, man. He knows the effect of all this stuff. He knows it's going to cling to people's brains. It's going to overtake them, and they'll start to do what they see in the media. He knows, right? Okay, so let's begin to break that down. First of all, he uses social media. Now, I could be here all day long giving you social media accounts, but I'm just going to hit some highlights. It's everywhere. This particular topic, not that we didn't have some concerns with witchcraft and Satanism, some of the other ones, but man, this is having to try to screen a lot of it is. It's grotesque. I don't know why anybody would ingest this stuff. Vampire, man. I mean, it's bad enough. But I quote, you can go to YouTube to learn to become a vampire. Now, keep in mind, as we're seeing this on social media, our studies on declaring the Bible get banned and deleted and hacked. But you can go there right now, unfortunately, and anybody, whatever age, they will teach you literally how to be a vampire. They will also pick a group, any group, a vampire clan, group in your area. They even have searchable databases for you to join a vampire clan in your area. And again, we get banned. We still have Google, after 2.5 years, who refuses to update our new address to our facility to purposely put people back to the old facility. Oh, yeah. And they get disgruntled. They don't show up because, oh, I went there. And we have tried so many times, whatever. But hey, want to go to a vampire clan? They'll lead you right to it. It's crazy. And again, it's the same with all social media. This is just a general search on Facebook. Vampire this, vampire that. They even got vampires of Nevada. As you can see, the third one down. Right, it's, and again, you could scroll for days. And again, it's every media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, you name it, it is everywhere. There's that's where a lot of younger generations, it's all about social media, it's all about that, and they're on that, and most parents have no clue what they're looking at. But it's everywhere, right? You don't have to go to some backwood alley anymore to get your hands on some of the stuff. Now, that's just social media, and again, we could be here all day, I could give you examples, but we've got a lot of different avenues to cover. The second one's Hollywood movies. And it ain't just Twilight, folks. Let me give you, there's so many vampire movies out there, I refuse to go through them all. But there's top lists hundreds list, top 100 list. What? I don't do 100, so I'm just going to give you the top 50 in reverse order. There's Once Bitten by Jim Carrey, Queen of the Damned, Blade Trinity, Van Helsing, The New Moon, The Vampire in Brooklyn, The Last Man on Earth, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1, The Twilight Saga, Eclipse, Vampire Kiss, Daybreakers, Blackula, Underworld, 30 Days of Night, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2, Fright Night, the original of 1985, Fright Night 2011, the remake, Martin from Dusk Till Dawn, and who could forget, that was a major influence, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. In the 90s, The Horror of Dracula, Ganja and Hess, Blood for Dracula, Dracula Popes from A Virgin's Diary, Kronos, and another popular one back in my era, The Lost Boys in the 80s. That was a big one that came out. People all of a sudden wanted to be a vampire from that show. Nadja, Vampires, Isle of the Dead, Byzantium, Thirst, Blade, the original, 1998, Twilight, the original, 2008, and then the other big influence, Interview with the Vampire. I mean, they were so... good looking, man. I mean, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise are in the same movie. Ladies went nuts over that. I am not joking. And that was in the 90s. And we're going to see who wrote that book in a bunch of vampire genre. But that was a huge influence on people. Girl Walks Alone at Night, The Hunger, The Daughters of Darkness, What Do We Do in the Shadows, The Shadow of the Vampire, The Addiction, Let Me In, Only Lovers Left Alive, the 1992 version of Bram Stoker's Dracula, Blade 2, Near Dark, Dracula, the original, 1931, Let the Right One In. And they say the number one is this one, Nosferatu, the original of 1922. And he's saying, boy, that's the best one. You got to watch it. It's crazy. And again, as we saw, people ingest this stuff. It clings to them, overtakes them. And then you spend 30 grand to look like one. That's just the look. Remember the beliefs? There's a whole behavior that goes behind that. They do start drinking blood. It does get to murderous behavior. They get straight out into the occult, start doing divination, all that other kind of stuff too. Right? And Satan knows this, folks. He's laughing.
Just entertainment. It's not a big deal.
The third one is Hollywood TV shows. This was wild. Not just the movies. TV shows. There are so many stupid vampire TV shows out there. Blew me away, right? Let me just give you some of the latest ones that are encouraging people. Yep, that's right. Vampires are the latest superhero. Don't you want to be one? I'm not joking. Let's take a look at that real quick.
The Strain, 2014 to 2017. Created by the celebrated duo Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan, this American horror drama television series is based on the pair's vampire horror novel trilogy, Penny Dreadful, 2014 to 2016. Well, well, well. What do we have up next? A horror drama television series that is a recipient of 16 remarkable wins and 91 nominations. Which, by the way, also includes 13 Primetime Emmys. The Originals, 2013 to 2018. If you grew up watching Julie Plec's supernatural teen drama TV series The Vampire Diaries like me, you simply have no reason not to like its direct spin-off. Every TVD fan out there knows who the Michelsons are. In case you're new to it, the Michelsons are the very first line of vampires, the Originals to be more precise, and it's from them that every vampire that's currently breathing, or technically not breathing, is a direct descendant of. Dracula 2020. If only every count on display looked this good. Are we deviating? Yes, we are, because Danish actor Cleese Bang does complete justice to his portrayal as the titular character, leaving every woman out there with a little bit of drool on the side. V-Wars 2019. Based on New York Times best-selling author Jonathan Marbury's eponymous anthology series and comic book, the series is bound to take one on a non-stop thrill ride of action, horror, and suspense. The Vampire Diaries 2009 to 2017. Okay, so what can possibly be better than two vampire brothers looking great getting caught in the middle of a torrid love triangle just like history would have wanted them to? Well, that's exactly what the storyline of Julie Plec and Kevin Williamson's supernatural teen drama TV series is all about. A recipient of 4 People's Choice Awards amongst 37 deserving wins and 67 nominations, The Vampire Diaries still brags a current IMDb rating of 7.7. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 1997 to 2003. A recipient of 2 Primetime Emmys, amongst 52 wins and 134 nominations, Joss Whedon's supernatural drama TV series is based on Fran Rubel-Kazooie's 1992 American black comedy horror flick, also titled Buffy the Vampire Slayer. True Blood 2008 to 2014. So we are talking about Alan Ball's fantasy horror drama TV series, one that is based on the Southern Vampire Mysteries, a series of books penned by the best-selling author Charlaine Harris, a recipient of one Primetime Emmy amongst 38 wins and a total of 158 nominations, played the series 2006. Based on the Marvel Comics character and also the film series, the events of Blade the series take place post what happened in the 2004 movie, Blade Trinity. Developed by David S. Goyer, this live-action superhero TV series features 13 electrifying episodes.
Notice again, superhero TV series. So apparently if you're not into Iron Man or Captain America, be a vampire. Believe it or not, that's about as... I had to clean that up, and it still is kind of gross. But that's the cleaned-up version. I'm going like, what? I would never want to sit down and watch it, but people are ingesting this stuff? Why would you even watch that? But also, did you notice how many, quote, stupid awards this stuff is winning? I mean, one was 138 nominations or something like that. I was like, what? What? But you try to put the Bible on YouTube or get a sermon up there, and you get deleted. Crazy. I wonder who's behind that industry. But that's not all. There's another one he's out there. So you also have the whole book media, right? Because you got those people that read those things. They're kind of weird. They're kind of like rectangular in shape. Have you ever seen them? Right? And they're like they're called pages. There's a bunch of them like stuck in there inside this rectangle device. Have you ever seen that? And there's letters all over the place, but somehow when you look at it, it makes sense. Yeah, they're called books. But anyway, books, believe it or not, there is a huge influence and has been for quite some time and still to this day. Oh, and in fact, again, top 10 list, top 50 list, all this stuff. There's so many vampire books, there's no way we're going to go through them all. In fact, this one says the best vampire books to read besides Twilight. It's not Twilight, man. There's so many out there to choose from. I just tell you what. And we all know it's just entertainment, so it has no effect on you. Yeah, whatever. It'll cling to you and overtake you. In fact, this one, I kid you not, this is the top 722 vampire book list that was up on there, just obviously scrolling for days, right? There's plenty to choose from. Now, one of the most famous ones is from this lady, Anne Rice. Okay, Anne Rice. I don't know if you guys remember this. I remember this back in the day. Word was on the street. Anne Rice, who wrote some of the most popular, unfortunately today, still to this day, vampire books, amongst other stuff. She all of a sudden in the news, she became a Christian. I don't know if you guys ever remember that. And there was a fervor in the Christian community. What a great testimony. This lady who wrote these horror vampire books, she got saved. It's amazing. It's amazing. You didn't do your homework. She did not become saved. She became a Catholic. And I quote, watch this. Anne Rice, her real name was Howard Allen Francis O'Brien. Now you know why she changed it. Because that's about as bad as a boy named Sue. The real name Howard? She's in for a fight, but I digress. But anyway, she was an American author of not just gothic fiction, the vampire stuff, but listen, erotic literature and so-called Christian literature. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. She was best known, again, that's her, for her Vampire Chronicles and The Interview of the Vampire that was made with the movie and all that other stuff. But guess where she was born in and where she stayed and bought homes? New Orleans. Shocker. Right? Home of the occult, right? And also not only the home of the occult, but also what's big down there? Voodoo, but also what? Catholicism that merges completely with voodoo, right? So that's her whole background. She had a stint that she later moves to Texas, then San Francisco. She grew up in a Catholic family, but she decided to become an agnostic later in life as an adult. But in 1988, following the success of The Vampire Lestat and The Queen of the Damned, she purchased a second home in New Orleans, and that's when she, after all these decades of atheism, she decides to become, quote, not a Christian, a Catholic. She returned to the Catholic Church. Then she started writing, quote, Christian material. She promoted her book, Christ the Lord, Out of Egypt, October 2005. And she made the announcement in Newsweek that she would now use her life and talent of writing to glorify her belief in God. So now, she must have got saved. Now she's going to be ready. And I quote, but she did not renounce her earlier works, including she cited a connection in her earlier works with her state of her spiritual life. What? What's the scripture say? Separate. Come out from among them, be separate. Don't have nothing to do with that. You need to walk away. She did. And then she remained, after becoming a Catholic, a vocal supporter for the equality for gay men and lesbians, including their so-called marital rights, as well as abortion rights, birth control, and she wrote extensively on those issues. She died in 2021, but before that, she admitted on tape that she's all of a sudden now she decides, now I'm not a Catholic anymore. But again, they use the word Christian, right? But here she is admitting that on tape. Watch this.
The author Anne Rice has sold nearly 100 million books, making her one of the most popular writers of all time. But it's not her novels that people are buzzing about these days. It's this very stark, very public declaration. I quit being a Christian, Rice wrote on Facebook. She then sat down with Dan Harris to explain.
Recently, the woman who wrote such best-selling novels as Interview with the Vampire went on Facebook to write something much shorter and much more incendiary.
You wrote on Facebook, today I quit being a Christian, I'm out. And you go on to call Christians as a group quarrelsome, hostile, disputatious, and deservedly infamous.
I was saying, look, when you see the persecution of gay people by the Mormon Church or the Catholic Church, I'm not part of this. When you see the oppression of women, I'm not part of it.
Anne Rice was raised Catholic but became an atheist at age 18. In 1998, she says she experienced a conversion and rejoined the Catholic Church. But she says she wasn't prepared for how frustrated she would become by things like the priest sex abuse scandals, the Pope going to Africa and condemning condoms in the fight against AIDS, and the church's involvement in the fight against gay marriage in California.
The toxic anger built up, the confusion built up, and I thought, I have to get out of this. I want God to be the center of my life, and somehow I'm in bed with the devil.
That's a very strong word you use there, devil. You're saying that there is evil operating in organized religion.
I felt like I was in bed with the devil.
Part of her frustration, she admits, comes from the fact that her son, Christopher, is gay.
I mean, it causes great moral discomfort when your church is calling homosexuality gravely disordered. And when they're spending money, maybe money you yourself contributed to fight to support Prop 8. I mean, I can't emphasize how demoralizing that is to me.
To be clear, Rice says she is still a follower of Christ.
Don't think so. Because a follower of Christ follows Christ. And how do we know how we're following Christ? Is right here with the words of Christ and what he taught in the Bible. Yep. So you do what he says if you follow him. Again, they use the word synonymous. That's what the media does. They want you to get like Mormons, but Catholics, that this is the same thing as Christians. They're not. So she, quote, quit being a Christian. I don't think she ever was one based on what she's sharing right there. And so how do you answer that? Well, the Bible answers that for you. They might have been in your midst, but they were a faker the whole time. How many times does this go on? 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have what? Remained with us, but they're going to show that what? None of them belong to us. In fact, on that issue, what was really deciding her reality for truth? It was not the Bible, that's for sure. And hey, by all means, I would recommend anybody and everybody to come out from the so-called Catholic Church. That's a cesspool of false teaching. It's not the gospel. It's a works-based gospel. It's false teaching. It's a heresy run. So I'm actually glad she got out of that. But unfortunately, I didn't seem to understand. She understand what the gospel really is. I'll be the first one to say, get out of organized religion. Because that's man-made. But what people need to be encouraged is how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, right? So there's parts of that I don't disagree with. I think it's sad, right? But the reality is, what really determined her belief system? Her son became a homosexual. So really, what happens? You're putting your feelings or your family above the scripture. And I can tell you testimonies of people that were solid on these issues, even professing to be Christians, but the moment that enters into the family, all of a sudden they change their tune. And then you become the bad guy. And then the sad thing is, guess what? I didn't make up the rules. God did. I'm just declaring what he said, right? But this is what happens. So what happens to those people? They lost their salvation? No, they never had in the first place. They went out from us because they didn't belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained, but they're going to show that none of them belong to us. Now, there's not just a Catholic. No, she grew up in Catholic, voodoo, vampires, so not too much of a surprise. She goes back to Catholicism, then rejects Catholicism. So there's not only, and she wrote some of the biggest, most well-known vampire novels. So there's a Catholic influence there, again. And where do we see in the vampire novels, movies? The cross, the Catholic priests, holy water, right? Okay, but a lot of people don't realize that there is a Mormon influence to vampirism. And give it up for Melissa for sharing this article with me. Brilliant, man. This is awesome. I didn't know this, but this is from the Twilight series. Quote, Mormon influence imagery runs deep through Twilight. They actually use this vampire whole genre to get people indoctrinated into not Catholicism, but this time Mormonism. Now, let me give you the parallels. It was written by Stephanie Meyer, who she is a Mormon. And so let's break down the storyline of Twilight and the teachings of Mormonism. Bella, of course, the teenage supposed heroine, she, quote, avoids coffee, tea, and alcohol and tobacco, just like the Mormons do. Bella also advises her father to, quote, cut back on steak, which is another Mormon teaching of, quote, eating meat and poultry sparingly. Bella was always frequently cooking and cleaning household chores, which is another thing, productivity for women, rules for traditional roles in Mormonism. A crucial belief in Mormonism is, quote, humans can become divine. They don't tell you that knock at the door, but they are ultimately riding the bike, doing the tour, going through the priesthood, so they can become gods and goddesses and forever populate their planet with spirit babies. My wife doesn't want to do that. Okay, but it's wrong. It's a heresy. Two kids are enough. But apparently, but anyway, but that's what they teach, that quote, Mormons teach that humans can become divine. Well, in the Twilight series, okay, the vampires, the Cullen family, once human, but now live without death in a resurrected condition. Mormons, their most famous so-called angel is Moroni. The key word there is the first part, moron, I, okay, but Moroni, okay. Believe it or not, that's the one that you see on the temples. You'll never find a cross in the Mormons, ever. Never. It'll just either be a straight point or you're going to see this Moroni thing with the horn at the top. That's all you're ever going to find. But the Book of Mormon says that Moroni, listen to this, they get it wrong on so many different levels. Moroni was a 5th century prophet who visited founder Joseph Smith in 1823. Stop there. Do dead people become angels? No, angels are created by God separately. Angelos, meaning messenger of God. Okay, they're not dead people, so they got that wrong as well. But the Moroni is described, their most famous so-called angel in Mormonism, is described as glorious beyond description. Well, go back to Bella. She describes her boyfriend, vampire friend, Edward, as an angel whom she can't imagine as anything more glorious. Another teaching of Mormonism is that marriages are, quote, sealed for eternity. And of course, Bella describes her relationship with Edward as forever. Bella and Edward's marriage ends in a very quick pregnancy, underscoring Mormons who are big on having as many kids as you possibly can, which kids are a blessing from God. The scripture is very clear about that. But their motive is you need to have as many babies as you can because that is what the spirit babies are going to be popping into to create more Mormons. Again, if you want to get more of this, we dealt with this for, I think, at least 10 weeks in our Mormon study. Check it out. Now, by the conclusion of the Twilight series, Bella also has an Indian friend named Jacob. Well, Mormons believe that they share a common heritage, supposedly, with the Native Americans, which is, we again saw in that study, there is zero DNA evidence of this. It's a made-up story by Joseph Smith, but he felt that the Native Americans were ancient Israelites. So in the Twilight movie, not only is this Indian friend, but they also have the Indian people in the Twilight movie have Hebrew names. Jacob, Paul, Ephraim, Jared, Seth, Joshua, Levi, Rebecca, and Rachel. And finally, Jacob's last name, okay, is black, which is a reference to the Lamanites, which refers to the skin of blackness. And again, one of the other many false teachings that they don't tell you when they come knock at the door, is Mormons believe that, of course, the black Africans, that was part of a curse that they were under with that. Same thing with Seventh-day Adventists. Ellen G. White believed that the black African races was because of she called it the amalgamation, that humans made it with animals, and that's why we have the black African race.
They don't tell you that, do they?
Yeah. Exactly. But again, we've dealt with all those studies already before. But again, what is it? I like this. Bram Stoker probably never imagined that vampires would actually represent a religious doctrine, i.e. Mormonism. But more than a century later, Twilight shows that these nocturnal creatures can accommodate just about anything. So you got the Catholic influence, you got the Mormon influence, but that's adults, right? Kids ain't going to read one of those big giant books typically, right? That I described to you, those rectangular things with those weird things inside of it that's got letters all over it. Yeah. Remember those ancient devices? Yeah. But kids will watch this. They'll watch cartoons. Vampire cartoons are all over the place. In fact, they're all the rage. Part of it is because of this thing. I forget how many they're up to now. 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know how many there is. But 3 at least, I know. Maybe 4. But don't leave Disney out. You know, because remember what we saw before with every single thing that we went around the horn? Witchcraft, Satanism, voodoo, shamanism. Disney just goes around the world literally with the culture and then creates a cartoon out of that occult belief. Same thing with vampires and the cult and blood drinking. And I quote, watch this. This is in print, folks. It's coming to a TV near you, unfortunately. Evil Disney unveils new program about a little girl who inherits blood drinking cult complete with ritualistic murder and human sacrifice. Now, the average parent, if they were to even pay attention to what their kid was watching, if they happen to watch by, it's going to be a cartoon, okay? But, oh, hey, what are you watching, Johnny? Oh, I'm just watching Disney. Okay. It's called Praise Petey. It's scheduled to premiere on Freeform and Hulu. And it's, quote, the exact kind of filth we've unfortunately now come to expect from the once trustworthy Disney empire. Praise Petey is about a young girl who inherits a human-sacrificing, blood-drinking cult and whose logo is the all-seeing eye. So here's the latest perversion out there for kids to ingest. But don't worry, none of this stuff ever clings to people. Yeah, watch this.
It's morning again. The sun is shining. The goats are screaming. And I'm still here, despite the fact that last night I witnessed someone get ritualistically murdered by my dad's cult that I just inherited.
Oh, here we go.
What the? I'm Petey. I had it all. Mother!
Here.
What's this?
It's a message from your father.
It's me, your father! The community of New Utopia is all yours.
I just needed to figure out my place in my dead dad's weird town. I'm walking here.
The great daughter! She's arrived!
Welcome to New Utopia.
I'm new to this being a cult leader thing. Thank you. But I was excited to get to work. Do you need this hammer?
Yeah, just put it between my pecs.
Doing okay?
Nah, we're starving.
You being here means the prophecy of the great daughter's return is fulfilled.
I'll make New Utopia normal.
It just gets worse, doesn't it? More and more blatant. But don't worry. These vampire cartoons, it's just entertainment, man. It doesn't cling to nobody. Kids know better. This one broke my heart. Make-A-Wish Foundation. This little boy is dying. You know what his wish was? I want to be a vampire. Not I want to be a Christian. I want to get saved. I want to be a vampire. Watch this.
We found out about Chris through our referral source at Children's Hospital and heard that he was a rush wish. The family found out in Florida that he had this brainstem tumor. He was told that there wasn't much that they could do.
Many of our wishes, the children grow up to live long, healthy lives. Some don't.
We had a wish interview done with him.
We were excited to hear what the wish was, which was to become a vampire.
He wanted to be this vampire because in his little class yearbook, that's what he wrote next to his picture is, I wish to be a vampire.
Sometimes on wishes like the vampire wish, it's a little bit different because it requires kind of a team to come up with the logistics, especially quickly.
He wanted the very best wish experience for him and was very concerned about, you know, making sure that we were able to capture exactly what Chris wanted.
It was kind of interesting to watch it all come together and see the team come up with different ideas for this wish.
So we have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with the Ritz-Carlton. When this wish came up, I immediately thought of them because it aligns itself so nicely with the hotel aspect of Hotel Transylvania. I called them up and I said, we're going to have to move quickly. We have about 5 weeks to plan this.
When we start partnering with Make-A-Wish Colorado, we form a committee.
Here are my ideas.
It gets everyone involved.
You know, maybe a scare school, making sure that the food aligns with the theme of the wish. They're amazing.
They can connect with us on such a personal level because so many of our staff members are parents themselves.
What I get to see is an entire staff who have a passion for children and our community.
And I wanted him to be able to fly.
What?
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Hotel Ritz, Albania.
Nope, it has no effect on kids. They know better. That's sad. My question is, where is the church in all this? Where's the church? I'll tell you where the church is. Church is doing the same thing. And I quote, Christian goth culture online. I could be here all day with so-called Christian goth, this Christian goth, that Christian. That's an oxymoron, folks. That's like peaceful war, icy hot, yummy chicken. Ain't no such thing. Are you kidding me? What are you doing? Christian vampire books are all over the place now. This one, watch this. Not just Christian vampire books, but Christian communities now producing their own best list. 13 best Christian vampire books to start reading now. Not the Bible. Read these now. These vampire books. And then on discussion boards, they're now starting to ask this question. Hey, can vampires be Christians? And you really think this is not going to cling to people and not going to have any effect on them? And again, it's not just dressing up to be a vampire. It's acting this out. And I quote from this article, youth and the occult. Gee, I wonder why that's on the rise. It's everywhere, including in cartoons. And it does affect people. And I quote, the occult is increasingly becoming commonplace and a common component of TV programs. Right? And it's an increasing acceptance practice, the youth, as an exciting, exotic alternative to, quote, mainstream religion, quote, particularly Christianity. Because you'll get involved in spiritual things, you go down this route. It just ain't the Spirit of God. And this is from this article. In an informal study in Kentucky, teenagers showed that most said that there is a subculture at nearly every school, and that it includes Anne Rice-influenced gothic kids, vampires, and outcast kids who dabble in the occult. Quote, after all, in the Bible Belt, this is Kentucky, what more could be more shocking than experimenting with, quote, witchcraft, vampirism, or Satanism? Notice they all three blend together. The results are tragic. The study was motivated by the murder of two people by a vampire cult led by a Kentucky teenager, Rod Farrell. He claims as a young child he was exposed to occult rituals and human sacrifices by his father, then his stepfather, his first stepfather. He claims to have been exposed to occult and vampirism as a child while he was playing Dungeons and Dragons. That's another thing. And he engaged in occult practices following his mother's second divorce, walking in cemeteries, cutting himself, offering his blood to others, and pretending to be a 500-year-old vampire himself. He also became involved, not just Dungeons and Dragons, but a role-playing game called Vampire the Masquerade. Now, Vampire the Masquerade doesn't just be like, you know, use your mind, your imagination, like some other role-playing games. This one says you need to act it out. So that's what he did. Okay. He then meets another guy named Steven, and they, quote, cross over to become real vampires. And then they get this. This is his family life. His mom was charged with soliciting a minor, a 14-year-old, to, quote, cross over with her and become his vampire bride, the mom, with his 14-year-old. Now, during this, quote, the vampire cult, this is in Kentucky, engaged in group sex, drinking blood as a part of their vampire rituals, and then it led to deaths. They killed two people, allegedly, and one of them was at the behest of another one who encouraged them to kill these other two people so that she could join the cult by killing these two people. And I quote, the vampire cult was captured, quote, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Why? Because they were traveling to New Orleans to meet Anne Rice. Again, why is this happening? Because of the media influence. Other goth cultures, we could do a whole study on this guy, Marilyn Manson. He appeals to the goth movement as well. People but getting into the same kind of behavior in the goth scene. You have what they classify as two different vampires, what's called a metaphorical vampire, who adopt such trappings as sleeping in coffins, wearing fangs, keeping nighttime jobs, and drinking blood, exhibit psychosis. The second group goes even beyond that. They avoid the sun at all costs. Some drink blood and perform ritual magic. Some claim to possess psychic capabilities. Others are saying they are being tormented by wandering spirits, shockers. And it says this, this should be a concern for Christians because they're flirting with the occult. And this is, quote, in the Bible Belt. But name one church service that you know of people who've gone to has even talked about any of this stuff. Even though, and I've still got a clean record, this is the 29th study on this particular study. I have never once repeated myself in the scripture. Never once. In our opening text. Old and New Testament. This is all over the place. So how could you teach the Bible and you never deal with these issues? God takes this serious. And God loves us enough to tell us the truth. And it isn't just for us. It's to warn other people. Don't go down this route. It's going to cling to you, man. Right? This is why Israel got spanking after spanking after spanking after spanking. Because they turned to occult practices. They didn't just go to the high places. What was the high places all about? Worshiping idols, demonic behavior, blood sacrifices. Don't you get it? It's the same thing. And God is all over the scripture. But churches won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Including, watch this, an Arizona boy, this is sad, who wrote to his grandparents before committing suicide. Quote, dear Grandma and Grandpa, please forgive me, but tonight is the night I give my life to Satan, and I'm going to sacrifice myself. And he told me to skin you alive. But hey, just entertainment. Don't ever touch this from the pulpit because that's not what people need to hear. They may leave here with a low self-esteem. And that's really going to be hard to look in the mirror and go, aren't you wonderful? Love you. And all this is clinging to these kids, leading them away from Christ. And he's not just a liar. He's a what? Murderer. Satan. John chapter 8. Liar, father of all lies. He's a murderer. Christ tells the truth. He is the truth. He tells the truth, the one way out of this mess. All right. But hey, that's just kids. Good thing adults aren't getting into this. I don't have time for this. There's whole families now becoming vampires. It's the cool thing to do. Become a vampire family. Kids and adults. Now, adults also do the vampirism in a different way. And it's becoming more and more societally accepted. Right? Some adults, the latest rage is, okay, well, maybe you don't want to walk the streets like that, you know, and then admit you're drinking blood. But the latest rage right now is vampire injections. Watch this.
One of the hot new trends in cosmetic treatments takes injectable fillers to a whole new level.
A closer look at the vampire facelift.
Cindy Van Akron usually gets injectable fillers to plump the sags and fill the creases. This time she's trying something new.
Are you ready for your vampire facelift?
The name conjures up all sorts of images.
At first it sounds, you know, kind of, I don't know, twilighty.
It's a designer cosmetic procedure that combines fillers like Juvederm and Restylane with what many call a natural fountain of youth. Cindy before, Cindy after.
I can't believe the difference. I look way younger than I did.
We have people who come in who have to beg, borrow, and steal, but they're doing the vampire facelift.
This is our sheep placenta serum.
Well, it's not something that's hideous or offensive. The placenta stem cell firming treatment is one of the many things we do to have people what we call high definition ready.
Valentine's Day, there's a run on chocolate and anything red.
Oscar week, there's a run on beauty. You know, we're not talking about the Super Bowl here. We're talking about actors and actresses looking their absolute best, and the pictures live for eternity.
We're doing a vampire facelift today.
And is it your first?
It is.
We're going to inject the PRP into the face. So that's going to give a very swollen appearance, but eventually in 3 or 4 hours it's going to spread like honey under the dermis. She's going to have a really nice texture. The fine lines will not be as apparent.
Biopsies have been done and we have actually seen new tissue growth. This is not just a mania of cosmetics. This is the new facelift.
And I like to put a little up here for the upper eyelid.
Whether it's sheep placenta, human placenta, or plant origin, you know, stem cells. There are cells that produce protein, and it causes the skin to sort of come alive.
Like a vampire. Notice he admitted on tape, it's not just plant stem cells, not just sheep stem cells. What is it?
Human.
Now, this gets us back into our 8-week study we did in the other facility. If you haven't watched it, you need to. Abortion, the mass murder of children. Because there's two ways these guys make money. Not just in the murdering of the children, then they make a second round of cash off the baby body parts. And I quote, "For decades, Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry have been using baby body parts to do the following. Test artificial flavors, spices, seasoning, coffee flavoring, instant soup, bouillon cubes, ketchup, sauces, instant noodles. Some of the companies that have been caught doing this are Kraft, Campbell Soup, and Pepsi. And here's my point, they also use them in anti-aging skin creams, in gels, serum, and, quote, restorative skin creams." So basically, they're smearing baby body parts on their face so they can look young. And you wonder why God's wrath is coming. Let me give you some proof of this. Of all places, the Ukraine. It's almost like they're protecting something over there. Certainly, I'm sure the funneling of multiple millions of dollars, right? And we all know that every dime of this money we keep shoveling Ukraine's way, 100% is going to weaponry. Nobody's... Yeah, if you believe that, we're going to do that bok, bok, bok sound in Hebrew again. And I'm going to act like I enjoy it, and I don't. Wait, listen to this. This is sick, folks. This is what's going on. Stem cells, abortion, baby body parts, and the Ukraine. Now, if you notice there, it's Physicians for Life wrote this article. This is what they discovered going on over there. Physicians, these are doctors. And this is what they found. There's dozens of institutes offering, quote, miracle cures for the injection of fetal or baby body parts, stem cells, and the transplantation also of the baby tissue. They said when they got over there and they started going down the rabbit hole, quote, it didn't lead to Wonderland, instead to a continent-wide chamber of biological horrors. And we found out that the Ukrainian women are advised to abort because preborn children are excellent sources of organs and stem cells. The abortion rate that is encouraged in Ukraine is, quote, 6 times higher than the U.S., right? And they say this, women are paid $200 to $300, and you're thinking, well, that doesn't sound like much. That is 3 months' salary for them to carry their pregnancies to a very late stage and deliver the babies alive. The procedure allows the living babies, and this again, Physicians for Life, this is in joeschmo.com. The procedure allows the living babies' organs to be harvested while they're still fresh as possible. They have two institutions. One does the late-term deliveries. The other dismembers the live-born baby, passes the parts on to the buyers. As we saw in an abortion study, each one has a certain price. It's like you're seeing those pictures of a cow, and it splits up all the different meats and the cuts. This is sick. This is what they're doing to children. And they ship them. This is going on in Ukraine. And they ship these aborted babies to middlemen, to cities around the world. For instance, in Moscow, there's more than, quote, 50 beauty parlors using fetal, quote, baby injections, where, quote, rich Russian and Western women have these baby injections into them starting at $20,000. Big bucks. And he says this, he found, Dr. Lorizev found several Ukrainian websites that advertise prices for the parts of late-term preborn children. Of every part. Liver, neuronal cells, thymus, thyroid, ovaries, testicles, eyes, suspensions of liquefied fetal or baby livers, brains, and their spine. And then you inject them in you. And you become long, young, like a vampire. What's wild is this lady admitted on tape, almost begrudgingly, but it came out. That's what she's doing to look young. In fact, the one who's the interviewee, how is she being so young? Watch this.
Pushes through the skin and ruptures the collagen and then boosts it. You look like a burn victim for a day, but then it's it pushes.
What are you pushing into the skin, Sarah? Carrie, what are you pushing into the skin?
Well, you push in whatever the facialist would like to insert into your pores.
But what is it?
It is an extraction from a piece of skin that came from a young person far, far away.
This is what's going on, folks. And you wonder why the wrath of God is coming to this planet. It's bad enough you're murdering children. But we don't realize that's just the first step of making billions of dollars. You're making billions more selling the parts. Just so you can be young. Like a vampire. As we close, hey, maybe you're one of those adults that you don't want to inject baby body parts into your face and look young like a vampire. Maybe you just skip all that and go straight for the blood sacrifices. Like this lady. I wonder who's involved in that.
WikiLeaks today. The latest data dump. Paul Watson gets it out first. DrudgeReport.com has the massive headline. We'll put it on screen right now. Clinton campaign chairman practices Aleister Crowley black magic. Menstrual blood, semen, breast milk. Most bizarre WikiLeaks revelation yet. With a high priestess who world leaders visit and top rap and Hollywood stars visit, who carries out a form of ritualistic sex magic developed, really just taken from older rituals, by Aleister Crowley. Menstrual blood, semen, breast milk, most bizarre WikiLeaks revelation yet. And ladies and gentlemen, I told you that the Secret Service and others told us that they're into the occult. See, this is their operating system. And in the Podesta email where he's being invited and saying, of course, he's going, and they're promising him all the deliciousness that will be there, Paul Watson gets into the fact that the FBI and others talk about this perhaps being, not perhaps, leaning strong evidence towards code words. Code words for children. But it gets worse. In the rituals that she's released, it shows the severed head of a child, their high priestess. Again, appears to be an effigy, but it's got neck tissue hanging out, pouring ground up blood and body parts mixed with mother's milk in to desecrate anything pure and good, dumping it on into the bathtub, and then they basically have sex in the blood. And everyone smears blood all over themselves and just absolutely defile each other. And then Paul Watson gets into it later in the article, and I'm going to come back. We're going to cover all of this, get into the history of it, and a lot more. Spirit cooking developed by Aleister Crowley. Urine, sperm, you name it. The ritual is performed. And again, they always call it art. But then they admit that it is an intimate spiritual ceremony. And the embedded video depicts bizarre nature of the ceremony. They mix all this garbage together. Then they paint on the walls about how to cut yourself and how to spread more blood. It's meant to symbolize the union between, and then it goes man and all this other garbage and the divine, which is representation of one of the prime maxims. As above, so below. Yeah, right. And then, this is just a gateway, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, to larger stuff. This is what she's publicly put out.
In other words, that's the tip of the iceberg. This is the Clintons, plural, involved in this. They're not the only ones. If we're still alive and still here, Sunday is part two of our Schwab occult background study. We exposed him and his occult background. Now we're going to take a look at several of administrations of our government involved in this. Clintons are one of them. But Clintons have been involved in this for a long time. He was the president for 8 years. She came that close to getting back into the White Office, into the White House, into office. It's not just a swamp, folks. It's an occult swamp. And you wonder why it's getting so wicked out there. This is what's going on. This is what's going on behind the scenes. Right? Now, speaking of the government, speaking of secret rituals, doing things in the dark, secret societies, occult rituals, satanic behavior. Lord willing, next time we'll begin our first secret society on Freemasonry. This kind of behavior, folks, has been going on for a long time. And Lord willing, that will be our next topic. Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple of things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven. I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy
through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty, and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.